We all know the Medrash that Bnei Yisrael were convinced that Moshe Rabbeinu was dead. What did they see? Kizem Moshe Ish Lo Yadani Mehayelo. This man, Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo Yadani Mehayelo. We don't know what happened to him. The coffin of Moshe Rabbeinu appeared in the sky. The Satan showed it to them, says Rashi. And they looked up and they could see nothing but Moshe Rabbeinu's death. And they convinced themselves that Moshe was dead. He wasn't really dead. We know that. But it's the only time that I can think of where the Satan showed us an image, put it into our heads, and we were convinced by it. Convinced. Some people didn't look. Hur, Aaron, the Shevet Levi, whoever it was, the Tzadikim of Klal Yisrael, didn't look or weren't convinced. But for Klal Yisrael, there was a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu up there that convinced them they were gone. There's a story in Melachim Beis, and again, I don't expect you to know this. You didn't go to seminary, you went to yeshiva. But in Melachim Beis, toward the end, by Achav, when Achav's city of the Shomron was surrounded by the Arameans, the Aram was surrounding them, this is before they were eventually destroyed, there was horrible stuff going on in the city. People eating their own children, eating non-kosher animals. As that stuff was going on and they were being surrounded, all of a sudden, and you might recognize this from the four Mitzorayim, the Haftorah that we say on Parshas Mitzorah, but again, that takes a tzaddik to know this. But as the four Mitzorayim, the whole army all of a sudden just disappeared. What happened to them? They didn't die. They ran away. Why did they run away? Because it appeared in their heads. Their imaginations ran wild. They heard these horse hooves, this sound as if an army was coming up against them. They assumed that the Jews had hired other nations to come and fight them. So they got up and ran. They were convinced themselves that that was what was happening. And they saw it with their own eyes and they all ran, leaving their stuff there, leaving their horses there, leaving their cows there. And the Jews ran out of the city of the Shomron. They were able to have everything they needed, which was prophesied by the Nevi'im. That's over there as well. Their imagination made them think something amazing. See, your Yetzer Hara has a power over you. It's that he works inside your head. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you want. Unlike a regular Malach that has no ability to read your thoughts, your Yetzer Hara is within you. He knows how to trick you. He knows the ways that have worked in the past. He knows what can work in the future. He's there with you. And your job is to stop yourself from having those thoughts. Well, how do you stop yourself from having those thoughts? How does such a thing happen? I'm going to tell you a story. I cannot tell you if this happened. I am 99.9% sure that it didn't happen. But it's an awesome story to imagine it and pretend that it happened that we're going to go through. It is a Hasidisha story. And I'm forewarning you right now, there is already going to be a forest, okay? And there's going to be a tish. So I apologize. Okay? That's that. The Noam Elimelech, Rav Elimelech of Lezhensk, was a tremendous tzaddik. He had a student who got into kishuv, who got into magic. And his student was doing all these things. I guess he wasn't excited enough by the Gemara that he was learning, so he was doing all these things that he knew he shouldn't have been doing. So the other Talmidim, who knew what he was doing, went to the Noam Elimelech, and they said to him, Rebbe, you have to stop this bacher. This bacher is getting involved in this stuff. He's a kishuv macher. You got to stop him from doing such things. So he said, the Noam Elimelech said, it's okay. We'll bring him in on Friday night. We're going to have a tish. He's going to sit down at the tish. So they had a tish on Friday night. All the Hasidim were sitting around the table. There were Noam Elimelech obviously in front. As they're sitting there, this bacher all of a sudden started feeling really hot. Really, really hot. So he started taking off his hat, put it to the side. He's sweating. He can't believe it. It's so hot. He couldn't believe it. So finally he says, I can't wear my rekel anymore. I can't wear my jacket. Takes off his long jacket, puts it to the side. He's sitting there in his shirt sleeves. And he turns to the person next to him, the chassid next to him, and says, do you feel this? Do you all feel how hot it is in here? Chassid turns to him and says, buddy, it's Russia in the winter. It's freezing in here. What are you talking about? He said, I'm boiling. I'm absolutely boiling. I don't know what to do. He starts unbuttoning his shirt, right? He doesn't know what to do. Noam Elimelech calls him over and says, come here. So the chassid goes over. Noam Elimelech says, listen, you're hot. You need to take a little break. Just take a walk outside. Here, take my watch. He gives him his pocket watch. Take my watch. Go outside. I'm assuming there's an Eruv. Or again, Hasidish story, so there doesn't necessarily have to be an Eruv. But give him his watch. And he said, go outside. Use this. Come back in 10 minutes. Right? And you should be fine. So he said, okay, thank you, Rebbe. I'm so sorry. I don't know what came over. I don't know what happened. So he goes outside, starts taking a walk in a forest that's right behind the Noam Elimelech house, which is unbelievably convenient, and starts walking. And then he goes this way, that way, tries to get another place, doesn't go back, that goes around another place. All of a sudden he realizes he's completely lost. He has absolutely no idea where he is. So he starts going around another way. Now he's starting to panic. He starts calling out, help me, help me. Does anybody hear me? Nobody hears him. It's silent in the forest. Doesn't even hear anything. Silent. And he's so scared, he doesn't know what to do. He ends up falling asleep. The next morning, he says, when I see something, maybe I'll be able to find my way back. But the next morning was worse. Tried going one way, tried going the next way, tried turning around another direction. Nothing was working. Everything he tried went in the wrong direction. He sat there and said, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to get out of there? What am I supposed to do? Starts walking, starts leaving like little trails for himself. Every time he makes a trail, something happens. He's not able to go back to anywhere. He keeps walking. Days pass. He's starving. He's eating berries off from the forest. He's drinking water. He's eating anything he can find. If he can catch a bird, if he catches a squirrel, he's willing to eat it. He's eating anything he can. Weeks pass. His clothes start to hang off him. Months pass. Now his hair, his beard is crazy. His fingernails are going all crazy. Years pass. Years. And he's still lost in this forest. He has no idea where to go, what he's doing or anything. Finally, he comes to the edge of a forest. He's like, I can't believe it. He gets to the edge. He sees a town. He comes out. He looks like a nut job. Looks like a guy you'd find in Tel Aviv Pizza at like 11 p.m. You're sitting there and everybody's looking at him like, oh my gosh, this guy's crazy. They start running into their houses, closing their doors on him. He says, please, please. He hadn't used his voice in 5 years. He said, please, somebody help me. Somebody help me. They come out. They say, what happened? He told them, I got lost in the forest. I've been lost for years now. I don't even know where I am. Where am I? They tell him where he is. He's thousands of miles away from where he started off, from Lezhensk. Thousands of miles away. He said, I don't even know how far, how could it be? It's impossible. He said, forget it. I lost everything. The whole time he's cursing out the Noam Elimelech. The Noam Elimelech got me into this problem. Noam Elimelech isn't helping me. He said, I hate the Noam Elimelech. I hate the Hasidim in Lezhensk. I hate them all. So when he got to this town, he didn't tell anybody he was Jewish. He said he got lost in a forest and he came out. So he decided to act and be like all the other non-Jews that were there. He got married. He had kids. He went to the army. He started building himself up. He went from corporal to lieutenant to captain. I don't know what the order is. And finally became a general. 25 years have passed. 25 years. He goes up to the top general of whatever nation it is. He goes up to him and he says, I want to go back to Lezhensk. I want to go back to my old city where I used to live. There was a rabbi there that I despise with all of my heart and soul. I want to kill that rabbi, and I want to bring my army with me. I want to kill every single person in that city of Lezhensk. So the guy who was in charge, the top general, was not a Jew lover. Said, Zadeh, do whatever you want. You want to take your army? Go take your army. He said, thank you. He brings his army, gets on horses. The horses start riding, no wagons. Don't know why. But he gets on horses, they start riding from that city. It takes weeks to be able to get to the city of Lezhensk. They finally come to Lezhensk. They see it's the exact same thing that he remembers. And he says, I know where to go. Follow me, everyone. Everyone follows him. They go up right to the Rebbe's house. As they get to the Rebbe's house, he's about to stand in front. All of a sudden, he looks down and he sees he's wearing not his general garb, but his Hasidish clothing. He turns around. There's no army. And he's about to knock on the door. And the Noam Elimelech has a chassid answer the door. The Noam Elimelech turns to him and says, I told you to stay outside for 10 minutes. You stayed outside for 12. Look at your watch. And he looks down and he sees only 12 minutes had passed. So Noam Elimelech turned to him and he said, you want to use kishuf? You want to get involved in that? Everything you have is here in Torah. I could do anything you'd want if you sit and learn Torah. Just sit and learn and everything will be taken care of. That's the end of the story. See what the Noam Elimelech was able to do? Put inside a guy's head? He was able to make him put something in there that said, imagine the power of your imagination is so immense. We say here, Huri Avera Kushin Me Avera Atzmo. It's worse to think about the Avera than the Avera itself. The Avera is over, it's gone. The Huri Avera are so much better than the Avera itself. The way you think it's going to be, you can imagine the greatest world for yourself. An avera you can feel bad about. Here, avera, you don't even think you're doing anything wrong. But the thought is in your head and it stays there and there's nothing you can do. Throughout the Gemara, we see mishalim. We see a mashal here, a mashal there. We see these Gemaras that are fantastic. Of an Og Melech HaBashan being 800 feet tall. Of a Moshe Rabbeinu being 10 amos tall, being able to jump his height. The greatest basketball player that could ever have been. He was 15 feet tall. I mean, if you're 15 feet tall, all he has to do is really like put the bat just ball down inside there. And I'm not saying there's no shot behind this Gemara. Of course there's a shot behind this Gemara. But the main focus of the Mishalim and the Agadita and the Gemara is there to be able to make you think, to imagine it, to picture it in your head. Because there's nothing greater, nothing more powerful than seeing these pictures and imagining in your head what this is supposed to be. That's the Rabba Bar Chana Gemaras, the Ashmadai Gemaras with Ashmadai Gemaras with Shlomo Melech, to have these stories, so to speak, in your head. Whether or not it actually happened that way, that's not the point of it. Whether Og was 800 feet tall, I don't mind saying it. And at the end of the day, if I go up to Shemayim and Og comes up to me and says, I was only 100 feet tall, I'll be like, Shine, I don't really care. That really doesn't matter to me at all. But the point of it is that I'm picturing in my head a massive giant picking up a mountain and ready to throw it on Klal Yisrael. That's what I'm picturing. Because that's the image that Chazal wanted to project within us. That goes into our heads. In last week's parsha, Arami Oved Avi, Lavan Arami tricked my father. The word Oved is caused to lose, destroyed my father. Lavan Arami didn't destroy my father. He attempted to destroy my father. It should say, Lavan Bikesh Lavod Es Avi. That's what it should say. But it says Oved Avi, says Rashi, because the thought of a Rasha is as good as if he did it. If he has a thought of an Avera, it's like he did the Avera. And a Tzaddik, when a Tzaddik wants to do a mitzvah and can't do it, it's as if he did it. Because your hirhurim, your thoughts, when you put your brain to work and you're imagining yourself doing something, if you're a tzaddik, we're all tzaddikim, our mitzvahs are as if we did it. You want to give tzedakah? You want to be a person who gives a tremendous check to tzedakah. Something that you can't do? I can't pull out my checkbook and pull out and write up a check for $1,000. Imagine it. Put it in your head. Think to yourself, I am picturing myself writing a check for $1,000 and giving it to an ani. Watch yourself do it. You're having a difficult time doing achnas zorchim, inviting people over, and having somebody by you, giving something to somebody. So picture yourself doing it. Picture yourself at your Shabbos table with your parents, with your wife, with your kid, whatever it is. And picture yourself, this is what I want it to look like. It might not be the way at the end, but the fact that you want it to be, that you're picturing that way, that's using the imagination properly. The way to defeat the Yetzer Hara when it comes to her hurim, when it comes to machshavos, when it comes to anything, is to use your imagination in the way that he least suspects it. In the way that you start thinking of everything good that you do. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramchal, in his Chelek HaNikiyos, says, you know how to become an expert in Nikiyos? There's a bunch of different suggestions he gives. One of them is, imagine yourself doing it. Put yourself in a world of Dimyon, where you are that guy. Where you are the person who's doing it on his own. It's amazing. You picture yourself as a Rav, you can become that Rav. It's not just about, it's as if I did it and therefore it counts. You actually can become that because your mindset now is, how do I get myself to that point? How can I bring myself to there? You have a plan that's awesome. If you don't picture yourself and what you look like doing that plan, fulfilling that plan, finishing off that plan, it's as if you don't have a plan at all. The little thought that goes into your head, it's not enough. It's got to be a process. It's got to be a real thought. It's got to be a real imagination that works. The koach ha-dimyon has to be there for you to take it to the next level. And I'm telling you, from personal experience, imagining yourself doing something, imagining yourself doing a mitzvah that you never thought you'd do, works. Works. It puts you in a different world. It makes you think that this is reality, and it becomes reality. You can do it by any mitzvah. You can do it by anything. I don't know, I haven't tried an Pinyon Petr Chamor yet. Maybe I should. Picture myself doing a Pinyon Petr Chamor. To buy a donkey, to have the firstborn, to go ahead and do it. Why not? I might as well do it. Might as well have it. We have a president right now. I don't know if you're aware of it, but President Trump, I have absolutely no doubt that he was able to accomplish the impossible because he, mamish, saw himself as the president. He did it. No one thought he would. This was a joke in the late 90s that there was a cartoon that pictured President Trump as president. There's a TV show that hates President Trump, who did a whole thing of what it would be like if President Trump became president. What there would be. They never thought it was going to happen. They didn't imagine such a thing was going to happen, that Trump would become president. How in the world? There's no way. You know why? Because he thought of himself as president. He pictured himself sitting in the Oval Office. He used it. He put it in his imagination, and you couldn't get it out when everyone else told him, you're crazy. You're nuts. He's like, I'm not crazy. I see it in my head. Sometimes that does define crazy. But for him, he said, I'm seeing it in my head. I'm looking at it. I see myself in the Oval Office. I see myself as the president. And it worked. It worked. He's there, whether you like it or not. The truth is, it's not even like. It's either you love him or you hate him. There is no like anymore. It's either you love him and it's awesome and he's the greatest guy of all time, or you hate him and he is literally the most despicable character of all time. If you like him, you're a weirdo. It's like right in the middle. But he did it. Why? Because of that coacademium. He was able to imagine himself more than Mrs. Clinton was able to do. And look what he did with himself. He's able to do it. If you tell me that there's anything that's impossible in the world, literally impossible, you won't be able to fly. I'm telling you, you can, because President Trump is president right now. That is 100%. Anyone that would have guessed this before would have told you it's impossible. Literally, if you could put odds down on this, you'd be a billionaire right now. You'd be a billionaire, and then you could run for president next time. It's just ridiculous. You have so much time on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So much time. I don't mean to say it this way. There's almost nothing to do. You're going to be sitting in davening, and you should have something with you, something extra that you should be, whatever. But technically, Rosh Hashanah afternoon, the Brisker Rav says, you don't learn. It's not a time for learning. Saying Tehillim, you say Tehillim. To read stories, you can read stories of greatness. Listen, if you're going to do nothing, I'd rather you learn. But it's not brought down to learn on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is not about that. You have time to think. You have time to really make a cheshbon, to think to yourself, not just where I'm going to be, what I'm going to do. Imagine yourself in your new life. Imagine yourself with your new world. You were given permission to do X. How are you going to follow through on that? Just picture it. You have all this time in the world. Chazaras Hashatz is right there. You're going to be saying over these psukim that you have no idea what they mean. Absolutely no idea. So while you're doing that, have an imagination. Use your imagination, use it well, use the Yetzer Hara's own tool against him. Destroy him using his own makshava, his own imagination. I guarantee you, you can make such greatness out of it. You can become such a great person out of this. You just keep imagining it. Keep picturing yourself as greater and greater and greater, and see where you can bring yourself. Don't let him get you. You get him. Have a good week, everybody.